and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and today I have a plethora of social media news stories for you all. I want to start with one that is about Facebook. And let me just think about this. If I'm going out onto Facebook, right, and I make a group, or I just join a group, I usually do not put out my personal information. Like, I don't know, just even really personal details about my life. But some people do, because you might be part of a group that is more personal. Like, you might be part of a private group. And in that private group, you might feel more secure sharing information, you know, maybe life struggles or just other things that you're dealing with. But even if I don't do that, I am still super pissed about the story, because this is about people who did just that, who shared personal information on a private group, and companies have gotten a hold of that information. And if I was a part of this group, I would be so pissed about this, because you're supposed to be in a private group. I mean, granted, I think it's difficult to trust anything on social media and to trust that it will be private, but still, I just think this is ridiculous. Anyway, I'm not the only person who does, because lawmakers do, and because of that, they want to question Facebook about the privacy of groups. Again, a group is like, when you're on Facebook, there are different things that you can join. It's usually on the left-hand sidebar. There are events and groups, amongst other things. And if you go to group, someone will start a group, usually with, you know, for like-minded people, and others can join, like if you have maybe a club, and then people can post onto that group page for the club, like post events that are coming up, or, you know, like, oh, I need help, I'm moving or something. Can anyone come, you know, help me move my couch or whatever? And that's usually what groups are used for, but they can also be support groups, like if you're, you know, maybe, I don't know, like wives of those who were in the military or something. That's probably a common group, you know, like it can even be a very specific one, like single mothers in this town or something. And they can make a group and they can all talk and share their own individual stories, things like that, or plan meetups. Anyway, lawmakers are looking to question Facebook about the privacy practices after allegations that the service, or Facebook, revealed sensitive health information in groups. The Fair Trade Commission, they have a complaint. A security researcher and health advocates said that the company, Facebook, was failing to keep sensitive data secure. The complaint stemmed from an incident last year when members of a group for women with a gene mutation called BRCA learned that information like names and email addresses could be accessed from closed groups. So I had mentioned private groups. They're all closed groups, groups that are not open for the public. So you can't just find it while scrolling through and just randomly join. Usually it means like someone has to invite you, things like that. You can't just stumble upon it. The complaint argued that despite the change, Facebook has since removed the ability to harvest the ad information. So it was definitely out there. Companies could harvest information about people. But it has denied that there was ever a security loophole and has pointed to the option to create less discoverable secret groups. I need to learn this skill, but you can do less discoverable secret groups. The complaint argued that despite the change, personal information is still too accessible by people within sensitive groups. So if you're in a group and you're talking about like a medical issue, you wouldn't want your email and stuff getting out. Like you might get emails from like companies spamming you, like medical companies or insurance companies, or just people who take advantage of those who are in a difficult situation, like having a gene mutation. Like, I feel like if you're in a group, like a support group on Facebook or some kind, like a secret group, you don't want people like preying on your email. You don't want random like phishing emails getting sent to you with like your email or with your name. Like if they know your name and they're addressing it to you. I don't know. That's terrible. A letter from lawmakers on the House Committee on Energy and Commerce is questioning whether Facebook users were potentially misled about what data they would reveal by joining a closed group. I apologize for my lack of extremely knowledgeable Facebook jargon, but there are closed groups and then there are secret groups. And I guess the people who had their information leaked were part of closed groups. And Facebook was saying that they could join secret groups. But still, even then, if I'm part of a closed group, if I'm part of any group and other people can just access all of my information so easily, I don't know. I just don't like that. Also, what are they saying? They're just saying that information could be accessed. I feel like if they're complaining about their information being accessed and they're part of a group, that's kind of like a company is taking their information, I would imagine, or they're being targeted via email by things like that. But, you know. And also, I would agree that that is misleading if someone's saying it's a closed group. The letter by the House Committee on Energy and Commerce, was addressed to Mark Zuckerberg, and it questioned whether the company may have failed to properly notify group members that their personal health information may have been accessed by health insurance companies and online bullies, among others. That is awful, because you're part of a closed group about some like medical related thing and you're getting bullied. That's terrible. Like, you probably make the closed group so that you don't have to deal with bullies. And they're being targeted, like, by health insurance companies. And, the haters are everywhere. The letter requests a staff briefing about the issue raised in the complaint. A Facebook spokesperson said in a statement, "Facebook is not an anonymous platform. Real name identity is at the center of the experience and always has been. It's intentionally clear to people that when they join any group on Facebook, other members of that group can see that they are a part of that community and can see the posts they chose to share with that community. There is value in being able to know who you're having a conversation with in a group, and we look forward to briefing the committee on this." I think it's also interesting that lawmakers can just, I think it's a good thing, but I think it's interesting that lawmakers can just request companies to just come, you know, to Capitol Hill and talk to us about this. We have some questions. We want to know what this is all about. I think that's interesting, and I think that's an important power, obviously, as long as it's not abused, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if this makes legislation come in. Facebook is reportedly negotiating with the FTC or the Federal Trade Commission over a potentially massive fine for privacy issues. And in the letter from lawmakers, it said, "In light of the committee's continuing commitment to protect the privacy of the American people, we request a staff briefing on the issues raised by the complaint no later than March 1st, 2019, so we can better understand Facebook's practices with respect to so-called closed and anonymous groups." I am a little confused by this because I feel like if you're on Facebook, you're in a group, You know who you're talking to, then the group members are not anonymously posting. They're posting with their names. And usually that means you can then follow that person and find their Facebook page and, you know, see their name and everything. And if your page is private, then usually that means they can't see your email and things like that. Or they might be able to see your email if you have that happen, if you allow that. But it is also interesting that because people have the ability to do that, like insurance companies are still able to go in and take personal information. I would imagine that it's fine if other people in the group can see your name, but then insurance companies, like, who's inviting an insurance company to that closed group? Like, no one's doing that. And I think that's wrong. I don't think the Facebook spokesperson saying like, well, everyone knows everyone's names. Like, of course everyone knows everyone's names. If you've been accepted into the group, it's like part of the clique. Like, you know who's in the clique. But if someone else is coming in that you didn't invite, they shouldn't be allowed to just join and like secretly steal your stuff. Plus, if they're bullies, like, if there are other, like, people cyberbullying, you probably didn't let them into the group anyway. And I don't know, I feel like that's not clear from the statement if those bullies were allowed in by other members and that's how they saw the group members' information, or if they, like, hacked their way in somehow and were able to see the information of the members and then, like, target them that way outside of the group. I'm not sure. I mean, all of that is sad. I feel like at this point, though, these types of privacy issue things are not big surprises. Just with social media, I feel like I just expect that everyone knows everything about me, which is sad, but I feel like that's just the reality that we're living in. Obviously, I haven't had it to such a terrible extent where people, like, online bully me, but still, that's not a good thing. So we'll see how that goes. Facebook has to speak about this on March 1st, so we'll see. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back and keep talking about some more social media news stories.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the Social Media News Podcast. We are continuing to share some social media news stories. This next story is about Drake. You probably all know him. He's huge in the music industry. You probably have heard multiple of his songs. If not, you probably have his album, I'm sure. And you've definitely heard him on the radio. Such classics as Hotline Bling, where he's in the music video dancing in a box. I feel like very iconic, very recognizable. Well, this is about Drake. It's not necessarily about his music career, though. It is about his iPhone case, which is interesting. Recently, he has bought himself an 18-carat white gold diamond-studded iPhone case, which is reported to be worth up to $400,000. $400,000. What the heck? Okay, the jeweler who created the case, they uploaded images of it on Instagram, and it really sparkles. It's kind of nuts. It has, like, the whole thing. It's like, do you remember, like, bedazzling? Like, you'd want to bedazzle your phone? This is what every bedazzler always hoped for. The whole case is covered in jewels, and there's an owl on it that's, like, the logo of the company, and I would feel, like, if you're holding that, you're getting all of those stones dirty. Like, all of your hand oil and everything is all gross is getting on it. Like, I wouldn't trust myself with that type of, like, money phone case. Also, I don't even trust myself with my phone. Like, that's worth money. And if I drop it, something immediately breaks. So I can't even imagine, like, the case. Like, the case is what is supposed to fall on the ground. Like, the case is what's supposed to take the hit. It's supposed to be that if you break the case, that's fine. At least your phone's not damaged. Because in that situation, the phone is the most expensive part. So I don't understand how you could drop your phone in this case so that your phone gets damaged to save your case. Like, I'm not sure. Like, is it a bad case? That's crazy. That's a crazy amount of money. So there are, like, a lot of questions related to this choice by Drake. At least I have a lot of questions because I'm just kind of confused about the whole thing. Like, for example, what happens when Apple inevitably releases a new phone in just a few months? And it'll probably be a different size. So then if he upgrades, he's going to have to get a completely new case, which may or may not cost another $400,000. Also, anyone who bought his album, that's where your money went. It went into his phone case. It's insane. Also, like, I do understand that diamonds are very hard stones. So does that mean because of that, it, like, adds protection to the phone case? Like, does it extra protect your phone? I don't know. And, like, I don't understand the logic between, like, protecting, like, a $1,000 phone with a $400,000 case. Like, it would be cheaper for Drake to just, like, throw his phone away and, like, get a new one every single day for a year. That's still insane. Also, did he get this just because of Hotline Bling? Was he just trying to connect to that song? I don't know. I mean, his phone will definitely be blinging. There are just many things to ponder related to this. I don't understand his choice. It kind of just reminds me of, I think there was a time when Justin Bieber, he bought, I think it was like a gold chain necklace with like a completely jeweled out, like, I think it was like Stewie from Family Guy. I can't remember if that was a tattoo that he got or if it was just the jewelry, but like, I don't understand the big spending on things that are so useless, and not only useless, but like stupid. Like, I guess you could say that this phone case is useful because it protects a phone, but it's still stupid because that's just, you're going to mess it up so easily. I don't know. I would suggest if you have that kind of money, maybe don't buy a phone case like that. Maybe like donate it or something. I mean, maybe Drake donates and I'm just not sure, but anyway, you should, I don't know. That's very strange. Okay, going on to the next story. And this is about a couple in Vermont which got married at a Walmart where they met, which is kind of sweet. Apparently at this wedding, the bride wore black. And the wedding took place in Berlin, Vermont. And the couple chose to get married in a Walmart. The ceremony was performed by an assistant manager of the Walmart. the couple is Joanne and William Boulanger, both employees at the Walmart. They actually met there, and they had planned to get married at the local courthouse when the retailer's personal manager offered the store as a venue. Well, that's kind of nice. That's generous. The company was set for the employee break room. The ceremony was set for the employee break room where the assistant manager... Todd Sobel. Of course the assistant manager's name is Todd. The assistant manager's name is always Todd. he was the minister officiating the ceremony. However, at the last minute, the wedding was moved to the area of the store where fresh flowers were on display. Oh, that's kind of cute. Okay, I'm getting more down with this. I feel like I was not at all down, but I can, okay, that's, at least I feel like the intention is very sweet, you know? Like, oh, we'll just offer up our space because we like you guys and we'll move it to the flower section. That's adorable. Sobel said, "We've gathered here today to celebrate one of life's great moments, the joining of two hearts, and to give recognition to the worth and beauty of your love." Well, that's cute. That's what he said in a video of the wedding, which you can imagine went kind of viral online. That's adorable. That's also funny. Like, oh, hey, Todd, you want to just... officiate our wedding. That's pretty random. I'm not going to be asking my manager to officiate my wedding. Also, the couple had not thought about the attention their wedding might receive on social media. Joanne said, "We were just doing it because it was fast, it was easy, it was convenient." I mean, they were planning on just doing a like a courthouse wedding, so that's not that odd that then they chose to do, I mean, it's weird that they chose to do Walmart, but it's like, we're gonna do courthouse. I don't know. Also, I swear I've seen this before. I feel like I don't know. Is this like an old event? I feel like I have seen pictures of other people getting married in Walmart. So maybe it's just a thing. Maybe Walmart's just generous in that way. I'm not sure. But it's kind of sweet. At least that's like a nice thing to say. For Todd to say. tens of thousands of people have viewed the wedding video after it was posted to the store's Facebook page. Oh, well, I kind of feel like if you're posting to the Facebook page, like, you have to know that that's going to get some, like, viral traction. There's no way. And then the Walmart post with the video said, "Join our winning team here in Berlin, and maybe you'll find your soulmate too," with many exclamation points. It's weird. I think that's a bizarre story, but it's kind of sweet, you know? I think love conquers all, including, I don't know, a Walmart shopping aisle. The flower aisle, that's nicer. anyway, congratulations to the happy couple. Okay, going on to the next story. This is about a JetBlue passenger who was kicked off their flight after yelling about a child and apparently spitting on others. So, video footage of this event has shown a drunken JetBlue passenger. They threw a tantrum, and it went viral. The passenger is Valerie Gonzalez, and she was reportedly taken She was taking a JetBlue flight from Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport to Las Vegas on Thursday when she became upset that she was seated next to a three-year-old. Also, I want to say everyone is upset when they're seated next to a three-year-old. No one wants to be seated. Like, parents don't even want to sit next to their three-year-old. I can imagine. Like, I would be upset too. But she was, like, drunk upset, so, you know, that's a different level. According to the arrest affidavit, the irate 32-year-old said, "I'm not sitting next to an effing three-year-old. I've been drinking all day." Also, she actually dropped the F-bomb. But also, "I've been drinking all day." You're not even trying to hide it. Fellow passenger Orlando Alzugari recorded the incident and shared it on Twitter. It racked up nearly 60,000 views. Wow. That Orlando has a pretty big following, or at least he's going to now. In the video, you can see Gonzalez, who appears to be talking to someone via FaceTime on her phone, and she complains that she didn't do anything wrong. And that's what she's saying when she's on FaceTime with someone. I feel so bad for that person she's FaceTiming with. other passengers besides Gonzalez began to film her conversation. And at one point, she spit on the passenger in front of her, who she claimed was recording her. Which, I mean, that's rude to record someone. But, like, you spit on them? No, you're definitely drunk. Later in the video, you can see Valerie, who shouts at passengers while gathering her things to leave the plane. She said, "Make this viral. You want to make this viral? Make it viral. Well, what the F did I do? I called someone old because they were." "I called someone old because they were." That's what, like, everyone wants to say. Like, yeah, okay, fine. You're going to call someone old because they are. That's what you say when you're drunk. You don't actually do it because we all have social, like, skills and manners. That's pretty funny, though. Called someone old because they were. I don't know who she called old, though. I mean, not the three-year-old. But anyway, after this woman exited the terminal, she apparently tried to board the plane again, but a JetBlue agent prevented her from entering the plane and then apparently hit the employee. That's insane. She was arrested at the Florida airport and charged with battery. That's nuts. Also, I'd like to mention, I don't know why you would do that. And I apologize if I got names confused, but the woman who was arrested is Valerie Gonzalez. And the name of the person who recorded the video of Valerie is Orlando Alzugari. Azugare, yeah. So I don't know. That's insane that woman did that. And she tried to board the plane again and then hit the person who was blocking it from boarding the plane again. Reasonably trying to keep her from getting back on. That's insane. Okay, we're going to take a short break and then we'll be right back and keep talking about some more social media news stories.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Social Media News Podcast. I'm continuing to share some social media news stories. This next one is about Russia. And this is how Russia has banned smartphones for soldiers over potential fears of social media. Russia's parliament has voted to ban soldiers from using smartphones while on duty after the social media use raised issues of national security. The bill forbids military personnel from using a phone with the ability to take pictures, record videos, and access the internet. So, yeah, any smartphone. Where are they going to get other phones? Like, dig up a flip phone from a dumpster? I guess go to, like, some store and get a prepaid phone? I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know how Russia works, but I don't know where you could find one of those. Just get a burner phone? I don't know. Soldiers also cannot write about the military or talk to journalists. Oh, I guess that's new. Well, that's part of the bill, but wow, interesting. Russia's really paranoid. Phones with basic calling and message facilities can still be used, but tablets and laptops would also be subject to the new ban. Man, that really sucks right now to be a soldier in Russia. You can't use any form of technology. Or any form of social technology. Like, you can't use, like, tablets or laptops. Like, I hope you find a book. I don't know what else you're going to do. More than 400 of 450 lawmakers in Russia's lower house of parliament, the Duma, backed the law on Tuesday. Soldiers' social media data has allowed open source journalism sites like Bellingcat to expose secret military activity by Russian forces, sometimes in real time. Wow, that's kind of crazy. I mean, I feel like this is a little ironic because if Russia is being accused of meddling in our election, like, so, like, everyone in Russia is apparently so good at hacking and meddling and, like, going on social media and, like, revealing secrets that they're doing it to themselves. Like, Oh God. Also, I understand why you wouldn't want military secrets getting out. Like, any government, of course, wouldn't want that. But now I'm curious. Now I have to figure out what they shared. And apparently this journalism site is called Bellingcat, one word. I love it. That's my kind of website. I like cats. So I wonder if they'll have, what if their logo is a cat? Or if that means something different in Russian. I'm not sure. But this bill that is being proposed and has been backed by some of these lawmakers in the lower house of parliament, that bill is now considered, or must now be considered, by the upper house of parliament, the Federation Council, before being signed into law by President Vladimir Putin. Honestly, I think Putin would totally approve this. The only reason why he wouldn't approve it is because he'd probably be afraid there'd be less pictures of him. Like, less, like, if other people are not allowed to just take pictures of him, like, his whole military can't photograph him, I feel like that'd be the only part he wouldn't be happy about. Because, let's be real, Putin loves the spotlight, and he definitely wants to be photographed so that his image can go up online and social media. That's the only reason I could see him not backing this, is because he's afraid then his the people of his country cannot talk on social media about him and post pictures. I'm not sure. Otherwise, I think that would probably pass. I'm also surprised that's pretty high. 400 of the 50? More than 400 of 450 lawmakers in the lower house of parliament passed it. So I don't have the exact number, but well. Okay, so I don't know. Whatever. Good luck, Russia. Russian officials said the move was necessary to protect military information from foreign intelligence services. Okay, I mean, I guess that makes sense. In recent years, social media posts by servicemen have revealed Russia's military presence in eastern Ukraine and Syria, sometimes contradicting the government's official claim of not having troops there. Oh, that's really bad. I understand why the government doesn't want these things to go online, but shame on you, Russia. You shouldn't be doing that anyway, so I feel no sympathy. I feel so bad, though, for the soldiers who have to deal with that, because they're already, like, you have no freedom at that point. You're already in the military, which is a restriction of freedom, and you're not even allowed to use social media or take pictures on your phone. What about all your precious selfies? You're not going to be able to do that. Post on your Instagram. That's sad. Since 2017, Russian soldiers have been warned against sharing any information online, including selfies. Okay, so they were warned. Russia is not the first country to take steps to introduce stricter digital practices for military personnel following security issues. Again, I don't think it doesn't make sense that people, like, governments are doing this, but it just sucks for the people they're restricting. U.S. military security concerns were raised when a fitness tracking firm showed the exercise routes of military personnel in bases around the world, and that included in Syria and Afghanistan during conflict time. I mean, yeah, I get it. They don't want that information getting out there, but I don't know. I think soldiers should still be allowed to use social media. U.S. soldiers, though, are still allowed to use social media, but they have to follow guidelines. Does a Fitbit, like a fitness tracking watch, really, is that social media? I don't know. I mean, I don't think that's really their fault that that was out there. I don't think they should have a Fitbit or like a smartwatch. I don't think they need that or should have it. But still, I think that really sucks for the people who are in the military. I think they deserve to be able to do that. Like, send selfies to your loved ones. Show them you're okay. Oh, gosh. Well, good luck. And I think that's interesting to see if that'll pass through the Russian parliament. So, curious. I wonder, again, I think Putin would sign it, but you know. Okay, that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you all so much for listening, and please tune in to the next GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.